Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:46 p.m. That is, Greenwich Mean Time, and today is November 13th. Well, when we look at markets today, there was a fair bit of action, most particularly here in both the oil market and then also in the pound. Well, oil prices today pulled back by $4.93, which is rather a lot, but what is also particularly interesting here is that it has been down on consecutive weeks for the last six. And this is the biggest downward dynamic that we've seen. Now, when we go back and look at the price, there have been three ranges, one below another, since the peak in early October. Each one of those ranges was in the region of approximately about $4. Then we've had the number of consecutive days on the downside has been rather large, and now this is the largest downward dynamic in the course of what has been a six-week decline. Well, there is certainly an air of climactic action to the size of this move. There were certainly people that were very eager to sell today that hadn't taken the opportunity to sell on any day in the last few weeks. So I'm rather of the opinion that we're getting now a very short-term oversold condition, but of course the broader picture is that the uptrend that's been evident since the beginning of the middle of 2017 has been broken. So what that is suggesting now is that there is ample supply, and this happens to remove a source of a headwind to economic growth globally. But what it is being interpreted as is that demand growth is being expected to be rather muted next year. Well, that isn't of any particular concern to economies like the USA, because the number of miles driven has been declining for a while. It's much more reflective of a slowdown in China. So that is, I think, a more important point, is that commodity prices have been under pressure, not because of the weakening U.S. economy, but because of growth in China has been coming in below par. Well, what that helps to highlight is that China is in need of some fiscal stimulus, not so much to simply talk about it, but to get on with it. And that is perhaps the thing that we need to pay most attention to, because that is has the potential to be a catalytic event in terms of global demand, not just for oil, but for just about everything else too, and that is including stock markets. When we look at, for example, the Dow Jones today, it was down approximately 500 points yesterday, and it was down 100 in here today. Well, it pretty much closed out the day close to where it opened, but the reality here is that the price today is approximately mid-range. If we look at the peak that we have in October and the low that was put in February, prices today are pretty close to the middle of the range. And when we look at this on a longer term basis, there is certainly it would look very convenient indeed if the price continues to hold the region of the trend mean. This is right in the middle of that range. It's actually still above the trend mean. When we look at, for example, the S&P 500, well, the S&P 500 really does have a very similar pattern, in that it is right in the middle of its range and in the region of the trend mean. And the NASDAQ, with at least the 100, has been pausing around this 7,000 level, and it closed out the day today below that level. But so far, this is still in the region of the trend mean. It has the space in which to bounce and still be in the region of the mean, and this could still be a consolidation. On the other hand, if we fail meaningfully from this level, well, there is a fair amount of open water underneath it. Now, when we look at what's going on in the UK, we'll look at the FTSE 100, but the pound rallied by approximately a cent in here today, but it didn't hold all of the advance. It hasn't been able to sustain a move back above the 130 area. Well, this is on the back of the fact that the UK and EU have agreed to a joint document. So now we know what the text of the UK's exit will be from the EU. And the next question, of course, is whether the UK government has the ability to get it through Parliament. That is a much, I think, if it was hard to get the document agreed to, there's going to be a lot of twisting arms behind back to get it through Parliament. Well, when we look at the pound versus the euro, it has got right up now to the upper side of the range, but it wasn't able to hold the advance through to the end of the session. Well, I think that is highlighting the fact that this is a document that is going to look like look a lot like EU membership, and that is obviously something that the market would like to see, but the likelihood of being able to get it through Parliament is rather uncertain. So we are a long way from seeing the end of these Brexit machinations. In fact, it is, I think, quite likely that we are perhaps only at the beginning. So that does suggest that we're in for a fair amount of volatility here with the pound. Well, the FTSE 100 is right in the region of the lower side of its range. Now, I think this is a particularly important point because the FTSE has been ranging above that 7,000 level for almost 2 years and below it for the preceding 16. If this is indeed a first step above the base, well, that 7,000 area really does need to hold. When we look at the FTSE 250, well, we're not presented with the same environment. This has been trending higher for a while. Then it had that very clear upper dynamic 3 weeks ago, and that it was from the region of that 18,000 level. And we can see here that we have these ranges that are more or less one above another. It certainly dipped into the underlying range in 2016. But as long as it's holding the 18,000 level, well, then this will remain a reasonably consistent advance. When we look at the DAX, well, the DAX index has really got to demonstrate a return to demand dominance. It was in positive territory today, just like the rest of Europe. You can see here that there are some broad similarities between the trend on the DAX and the trend on the FTSE 250. Well, that's, I think, a rather interesting comparison because obviously the DAX is a much larger cap in nature, but it does have more of an international focus, particularly on the industrial base that the FTSE has, and perhaps the DAX has and the FTSE 250 have, but less so for the resource-laden FTSE 100. Well, the DAX needs to bounce. It needs to push back above the trend mean and to push back up into that overhead trading range if this is going to be a failed downside break. And so far, well, we haven't seen a lot of appetite for that just yet. Now, when we look at the gold price, the gold price has been pulling back in a rather aggressive manner over the last couple of sessions. It has paused around this $1,200 area. And when we look at this longer-term chart, it did have this rounding characteristic until the second quarter of this year, and then it has been declining since. It really needs to hold that $1,200 area, and most particularly the lows that were put in back in August, if this advance is going to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt, or at least support building. Well, in the event that it fails here, well, then there is a significant amount of open trading below it, and then we would be talking about the potential here for a much deeper decline. So we're at a rather interesting level for gold, and of course I think a lot of people will be looking at the dollar as the inverse correlation, and the fact that the dollar here today was in negative territory. It's a little bit overbought in the short term, but I think the bigger picture with the dollar is that there is this base formation that persisted for the better part of a decade. Then you had the breakout, and now you had a failed break above 100, a failed break below the lower side of the range, and now the more likely scenario is that the path of least resistance over the medium term is for higher levels. That's despite the fact that I've met a number of people recently who have been bearish of the dollar because that's the kind of research that they've been writing. But in order for one to be bearish of the dollar, someone has to pick up the other side of that trade. And it's hard to see at the moment what country wants to have a strong currency. Well, the renminbi today was a little bit steadier, but certainly not steadier in a particularly dynamic manner. Then when we look at what's going on in the Chinese market, well, what I find particularly interesting here is that the Chinese market has started to become steadier. The Chinese administration is beginning to talk about support for the market. There hasn't been a great deal of, I think, bombastic statements that they're going to come out and spend a lot of money on supporting the market, but we do have a higher reaction low now. The rally that we've seen has not been enough yet to break the downtrend. But the volatility does appear to be draining out of Chinese stocks. When we look at the Shanghai property sector, well, we are presented with a similar situation, although what it did on this occasion is it has pushed back up into the overhead trading range, and now it's testing the highs from that range all the way back to July. Well, we're on the cusp, potentially, of some of these downtrends that we've seen in China starting to be reversed. Well, of course, the one that international investors are perhaps paying closest attention to is Tencent. And Tencent rallied in here today from above the low. So this is potentially now a higher reaction low if we can see upside follow through in here tomorrow. Well, Tencent has been been trending lower all year and falling from approximately 475 to 275 in the space of 11 months is a pretty impressive decline. But we did have that very large upside key reversal 2 weeks ago. Now the question is whether that low is going to hold, whether this is at least some steadying up in a context of a market which had been accelerating lower. So I think there is the potential here that Chinese market has hit a low of at least near term, and well, we're at the point where it could potentially be medium term significance. So that's, I think, an important thing to bear in mind here, that there is a lot of fear being expressed in markets, but Wall Street has so far held up reasonably well, and the Chinese market has been leading on the downside all year, and that is where we're starting to see the potential here for some stimulus. Then you also have the point that Europe needs to probably need some stimulus. The downward pressure that is coming to bear on the automotive sector in Germany certainly makes the case that there should be at least some stimulus within Europe. And the fact that Italy is leading the charge on that front, well, we're probably going to have to see things get a little worse before they get better, but that yield on the 10-year Treasury does look like it is going to go higher. So if we do need to see things get a little bit worse before they get better, well, we don't have to look very far for where that might in fact have to happen. Well, the downward move that we've seen in the oil price is particularly good news for consumers, and the Nifty index has paused around the 10,000 level and bounced, so that's particularly interesting. The fact that Reliance Industries is also right now in the region of the trend mean and starting to give us some evidence of a bounce, the same thing for Tata Consultancy, so These are the autonomy type companies that are within that market, and they are certainly bouncing. Then even for the banks that have had some of the greatest selling pressure, well, they also look like they're bouncing in here. So there's certainly some support building is probably warranted, but it does look like we have a low of at least near-term significance after what has effectively been a very accelerated decline. Excuse me. So when we think about where are we in terms of this cycle, well, we know that we're late in the cycle, that there has certainly been the move into our demand for the types of companies that have got the ability to grow their dividends. So the first condition, of course, is that they have to pay dividends and that they have a history of increasing them. That is certainly the case with the clear outperformance that we've seen recently. At the chart seminar today, one of the things that really started to turn up was that we've seen something of a recovery beginning to take hold in the home builders. So there is a really very short-term oversold condition starting to take place here. And now there's potentially the condition that we may see a higher reaction low starting to come through here. If we look at the UK home builders, then they have rallied in a pretty dynamic manner over the course of the last few weeks, and they were well off their low in here today. Well, certainly when we look at the UK home builders, then we have greater evidence of commonality, and there's upward dynamics that are present right across the sector. So that would suggest that there is the scope that we could have this very I think steep decline that we've had over the last few months beginning to end, most particularly if these shares can push back above their respective trend means. There is, of course, the potential here that if the Brexit negotiations have, in fact, are at least close to conclusion, well, that should be good news for the UK's property market because it would remove some of the uncertainty. So certainly it's been an eventful day in here today. It is still all to play for in terms of stock market activity, because we're definitely seeing some rotation. But then when we look at where the weakest parts of the market are, well, even the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, which has got the clearest type 2 top characteristics I've seen in a long time, that was in positive territory in here today. Then the Nvidia, having been down almost 7% yesterday, also is emblematic of these massive reactions against the prevailing trend, but it has at least bounced in here. So that is also an example of a market where there have been very large moves, and now there is this potential for a range. It's quite normal after a massive reaction against the prevailing trend that we get a range, and if that range takes place below the peak, or most particularly below the moving average, then we can consider it to be a first step below the top. But we're getting to a point now where that first step below the top is looking increasingly likely to form. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and wish all the best to all of you.